did forget something. I won't let you see what it is until later. All right, our theme this year is
Start.
And so we have done a number of messages on this, and I hope that it's getting in part inside of you. It's being part of your thinking. It's not only just part of your thinking, but it is propelling your actions. We started with the verse from Numbers 33:2. Now Moses was told to write down the starting points of their journeys at the command of the Lord. And these are their journeys according to their starting points. It was Israel leaving Egypt, traveling to their promised land. And it was recorded every stage of their journey. And they started here, they ended here, they started here, and they went to here. And it's interesting that the scripture says to Moses, you recorded according to their starting points. Didn't say recorded according to their destinations. And we talked that starting is important. And starting is within your control. You can start. You can take your first step. It's when we think, well, how do I get there? Well, I don't know how I'm going to get there. I don't know what's going to happen in between. That's why I think the emphasis is on starting. Because if you never start, you're never going to get there. And so we've been talking about starting just what you know, where you are now, that the journey around the world starts with a single step. And I won't rehearse all those messages. But then we talked about getting started in the sense that if you're going to start, you have to do something. It's not just an intention. It's not just a thought, not just a desire. If you're going to start, you have to do something. You haven't started if you haven't done something. So we need to do something. And we saw that the problem with doing things is inertia. And just as in the physical world, there's inertia, that things at rest do remain at rest unless acted upon by an external force. And we realize we need to be prompted. And when the Lord over and over again spoke to people, he said, arise, arise, arise. You have to get up. You got to start. Arise. Well, where am I going? I don't know. Arise. You know, he said, arise. And Paul and Angie Wagler last week talked about how their ministry is called Arise Now. And even as they joked, maybe they should have called it Start Now. But it's the same thing. You have to do something. So we talked about that. Then we talked about you have to start now, not just sometime in the future. And we talked about the almost of Scripture. Almost King Agrippa came to the Lord. Almost you persuade him to be a Christian. But he never did start. And that many times you don't want over your or on your tombstone, he or she almost started. You know, you got to start. Then we saw that we moved to that. To get up in the morning, to get started in your day, we have an alarm clock. Something that helps us to overcome the drowsiness and the reluctance of our flesh. And the same in the spiritual. If you're going to start, you need to, as it says in the scripture, when the cloud moved, they hammered out trumpets and blew the trumpets, and Israel knew at the sound of the trumpet to get up and start moving. We need to hammer out in our lives devices that activate us to move spiritually. Could be a schedule, could be an accountability partner, it can be a number of things. You know what you need to get started. And so that was another message we shared. Now, I want to go on this morning and share this message. And the message this morning is entitled, Start Over and Over Again and Again. Start Over and Over Again and Again. Hope you picked up a fill-in sheet and follow along with us this morning. Success requires that you start over and over again. Success. It's not a one-time thing. It's not a one-time activity. Success is a repetition of starts and sometimes failures. I think we all are aware, or you've heard somewhere along the line about Thomas Edison, who was the inventor of the incandescent light bulb, which looks something like this. And he experimented and experimented and experimented. It was said that he had 10,000 failures in his experimentation to invent the light bulb. 10,000. That's easy to say. That's not just one. It's not 20. Not 100. It's not 500. Not 1,000. 10,000 experiments. And when he was interviewed, they said to him, "How did you keep going? So many failures. And what caused you to keep going and trying?" And he said, "I never considered any of them a failure." He said, "Every one of my experiments was a success." He said, "If it didn't work, I figured out one other way it didn't work." Invented in 1879, the incandescent light bulb. 100 years later, we have this thing, which is looks like an incandescent light bulb. It's actually an LED. It took 100 years. I mean, that incandescent light bulb was around right up until 5, 10, 15 years ago. I mean, everybody had those light bulbs. There's been a switch over to the little curly ones, and then we get to the LED ones. But it's been a long time coming, hasn't it? I mean, how many experiments? I mean, it gets to a point where now not just one person, but there's a whole team of people working on problems, and we've come a long way. But I want you to know, and I think we all realize it, it doesn't happen the first time. You have to do it over and over and over again. You have to start over and over again to have success. And we found that even part of being able to start over and over again is that you view every start. Oh, that's by the way. You start and then you stop. At the stop, it's important that you determine some kind of win out of that. Now follow with me. Thomas Edison, after 10 tries, might have been disillusioned, say, "Wow, nothing's going to work here. This can't be done. It's never been done before." But he somehow, in every so-called failure, saw a win. And so my encouragement to you in your journey, your starting points, that you determine that what was the win out of this? Maybe the obvious thing is a failure, but you've got to look at what has happened during that segment of starting and stopping, that there was a win in it. And if you determine that, that will help you to start again, and again, and again, and again, and again, 10,000 times. So, the next point I would say to you, every start and stop encumber us with additional baggage. I thought about moving. How many times have you moved in your lifetime? My dad was fortunate. My grandfather built the farmhouse we were in. My dad moved there when he was 8. And then when he was, as he got older and older, he said, "I turned in that driveway all my life." He didn't have to move. I guess he moved when he was eight, but he never moved. And he's, I remember him saying every time, I would hate to have to move. We know what it's like to move. I remember the first time we moved, packing everything up. That wasn't as bad as the second time we moved. The second time we moved, we had so much stuff because, I don't know, I'm sort of a collector. I would not say a hoarder, but I tend to not throw anything out as I'm going to need it sometime. That second move, and some of the folks were here and helped us when we moved to Denison. I mean, we had so much stuff we moved, and we didn't need it all. But I remember Paul's brother, Rip, getting a big semi-trailer, and the guys from the church helped us move. And I don't know, I haven't talked to Paul, but I assume they looked at stuff. Why is he moving this? What's he taking this for? Well, when we moved from there to the next house we moved to, we got rid of a lot of stuff before we moved. We realized, you know what, we got to get rid of some stuff. Because every start, every stop, you get baggage. You collect stuff. And it makes it harder for you to move again. And the baggage, here's your next point, the baggage of your past affects your perspective or mood of your present and your future. You know, we pick up baggage. Things happen. We pick up hurts. We pick up offenses. We pick up experiences, good and bad, along the way. And they just add to our life. And the next time you're to move, the next time you need to start something, you don't want to start because you have the experiences of the past. And this is what I'm trying to share with us. Success requires that you start over and over again and again. And you have to be careful of the baggage that you pick up along the way that's going to stop you from starting again and actually being the success that God wants us to be. Your past is filled with your experiences of the good, the bad, and the indifferent. Your past is filled with the experience of the good, the bad, and the indifferent. Well, what's the good? The good are your successes, your accomplishments, experiences of joy and peace and happiness. Times when others showed you love and kindness, appreciation, acceptance, and forgiveness. I mean, those are good times. Good things that is part of your past. The bad things are your failures, your disappointments, experiences of pain, sadness, anxiety, rejection, disrespect. Those are the bad things. And it's all collected during your journey. And then there's the indifferent things. I call them indifferent because they're just habitual, they're routine, they're commonplace, they're things that happen every day. And I call them indifferent because really, we don't think that they make any difference. So they're just indifferent. It doesn't affect me one way or another. Now let me say it does, because you can get into a rut. And so your routines are important, even though you might think my routine and the way I do things doesn't affect me one way or the other. But you have proved your life. And many times the indifferent things that you would say in your life, you know, I don't have to look at that. I'll look at the good things, look at the bad things. But these routines I have, they're not really important. And let me just say to you, they are. Because all these things affect your life. The good things, the bad things, and what we would call the indifferent things. So, here's your next point. The actions that you take in the present are much influenced by your perspective of the past. It's not just your past, It's how you would have interpreted your past. How you've interpreted the good things, the bad things, and the indifferent things. You have a view of it, a perspective of it. Now, your perspective is not always the true perspective. And you have to realize it's just one perspective. And we all know you can look at an object from this side and try to, hey, that's what it is. But it's not that until someone comes around and says, well, here's another perspective of it. And you see the other perspective. Now, you know, we've already talked about this, what we're going through right now. People have perspectives on things. And they're very certain of their perspective. And they will fight for their perspective. And it's okay to have your perspective, but we'd be wise if we'd listen to the perspective of someone else. Because maybe they're seeing something you're not seeing. And we need to be open and loving and humble, as we've already shared and prayed about this morning. But your perspective is affecting your actions, what you're doing now, what you're doing today, whether you're starting or not starting. It's not just your past is hindering you, it's your perspective of your past that's hindering you. Not that this has happened and that stopped me, there's a blockage. You know, I had someone say to me, I can't fulfill God's will for my life because of what this person did. They've ruined my life. Listen, anytime you think someone has ruined your life, you have a faulty perspective. The perspective you're looking at is how they have hindered and hurt you. And if you only see that perspective, then my life is ruined. But if you can see something bigger than what I'm just looking at here, and realize, you know, they haven't ruined my life. I mean, if you rule God out of the picture, then you could really get down and negative and vengeful and wanting to fight and so forth. But when God's in the picture, then I don't have to, I have a different perspective. But I want you to know, your perspective of your past is determining what you're doing right now. And I'm what we need to do right now. Start over and over again and again. You have to keep going on. That takes us to the next point. Your perspective of the past is determined by what you focus on. What are you focusing on? You can focus on the good, and you'll have a different perspective. You can focus on the bad and have a different perspective. Now, I just want you to know, there's enough good in your life and enough evil. Let's put it this way. There's enough negative things in your life that you can distill out of it unhappiness and gloom and discouragement. There's enough negative things in your life, in your past, that if you focused on those things, it would determine a very gloomy mindset, drain you of your energy, your desire, your zeal, your enthusiasm. Drain it right away. There's enough. I mean, it's not like you got to manufacture it. There is enough already there. What you do is, the manufacturing is what you do with the material. But there's also good things in your life and in your past that would change. And think. So what you focus on determines your perspective of the past. Now, the Bible addresses this in Philippians 4 and verse 8. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Focus on these things. Think about those things. There is the negative, and it doesn't say whatever things are false, whatever things were whatever things were unjust, think on those things. But we do, because those things are in our past. And you'll give up on life. and you won't start. And there'll be all kinds of opportunities, and God wants you to take the next leg on your spiritual journey, but you got stuck in the wilderness. And you're going to die in the wilderness. Unless you have this sense that, you know what? God is in control. I've given my life to the Lord. And I don't have to be controlled by my past. Your past is not to determine your future. It can inform your future to a certain degree, but even then you have to be careful. Because it'll inform you, don't do that again. Don't ever get in that situation. You got slapped in the right cheek. Never let your cheek be open again. You got sued at court. Don't ever get in that situation. You got forced to go a mile. Don't ever get in that situation where the Bible's telling us, no, turn the other cheek. Keep open. Keep going on. Don't let it distract you from what your purpose is. Oh boy, these are simple things to say. And yet I realize how difficult it is as we live out our life, and as I live out my life, to actually do these things. And we get pushed to the side, or we put ourselves on the side. And we just have made determinations, I'll never do that again. I'll never get in that situation again. I'll never let anyone do that to me again. We don't realize when we put up the protections around us, we've actually put up barriers to our moving forward. You have to continue to be vulnerable. You have to continue to have faith. You have to push through these things and trust God. The devil loves to build you in, to build barriers around you, box you in, confine your future to where you are now. And he wants you just to set up a tent and stay there in the desert. But God's got a promised land for us. And you, every day you got to start again and again, over and over again. It's a series of starts. Don't stop. Here's the next point. Your future is filled with nothing but what you project into it. I don't know what my future is. Well, don't you know what you're going to... Well, yes, I projected some things into the future. But I projected them. I don't know the future. I can think about the future. My future can get me happy or can get me disappointed depending on what I'm thinking about and how I perceive what's happened from my past. So your future is undetermined. If you feel, oh, nothing good is going to happen for me in the future, it's because you projected that into your future. It's not your future. Your future is undecided. Well, they did that, and so I can't do this. Who said you can't? You projected that into the future. Be careful what you project into your future, and you're projecting into your future a perspective of your past, which may not be the right perspective. And so we have to be careful here, because, as our first point, success requires that you start over and over again. And again, this is important, and I've already said it, but I put it in the notes. This is important because this affects your ability to start over again. Are you going to be able to start over again? So it's a focus on the good. The Bible says focus on the good. Don't focus on the negative. Listen, it's hard to judge yourself. But are you a negative, gloomy person? Not confident, not optimistic? I mean, you don't need to be that way. Realize, you say, well, I can't help it. Look what's happened to me. Yeah, look. at what's happened to you and how you're interpreting what's happened to you. You're not looking at it through God's eyes. You're not looking through faith. And so you need to break out of that whole mindset so that you're positive, confident, optimistic person.
Amen.
Oh man, they are so good to be around, those kind of people. And we say, well, I'd be happy and confident too if I had what they have. Well, you would if you would start and walk the path day by day. You got stuck somewhere. You got stuck in a bad experience, in a gloomy mindset that takes away all your joy and peace and enthusiasm. I mean, you got to break out of that by understanding some things that I'm trying to share with us all here this morning. So here's the point. I've made this as a comment in your notes. If, now, saying all that, you say, listen, look at my life, and I'll show you all the bad things. And there's certainly more bad things. I'm not making this up. I've been through a horrible set of circumstances here. I've been abused, I've been hurt, I've been wronged, I've been disrespected, and it's affected me. Here's the statement. If your past was predominantly negative, why bring it into your present and into your future? Some people have been hurt in the past, and they legitimately were hurt. But because they rehearse it over and over in their mind, they bring the hurt from yesterday into today. And they allow it to hurt them all over again. And the wrong of the past, that really was a wrong, that brought some damage to them, now I've carried it into today. And so I feel it all over. Why would you do that? Why don't you let things go? The Bible word for it is forgiveness. You'll never be able to start over and over and again unless you are a forgiving person. But you let some things go. And you say, I'm not going to carry that into my future. If your spouse has done something hurtful to you yesterday, and that hurt you and you felt wounded, why would you bring it into today? Why would you allow that to affect how you treat them today and how you speak to them today? And perpetuate the wrong of yesterday into today, and then I'm not going to speak to them. And you go for days into the future, not speaking. Based on some hurt of the past that you didn't let go or forgive, feeling that somehow I am showing them something and you're doing nothing but damaging your own self and your future. Every morning you get up, you need to get up with a feeling of appreciation for the people around you, the people you work with, your circumstances. It's a fresh new day. God gives us every day new. His mercies are new every morning. So let the mercy of God come and bathe your heart and your mind. Let the peace of God be in your heart every morning you get up. And just go into that day fresh and new. And it's a new day, a new beginning, a new start. I'm not going to let the past affect me. Now maybe the other person is still affecting them, but it doesn't need to affect you, only if you let it. And just let the thing go. Why can we do that? Because we believe in God. We believe in a judgment. We believe He makes all things right. So I can let it go. I'm not letting it go. I don't believe in God. I can't let it go. I got to get even. or this will never be shown. But you don't have to get even, because God's going to make it even. Not only even, He'll bless you for being hurt. Blessed are those that are persecuted for my name's sake. I'm going to bless you as a result of what the bad thing you've gone through. So how can we lose doing it God's way? Easy for me to say. But it's the absolute truth. And what do we need to do? Start over. Start again. Once? Twice? Peter said to the Lord, how many times should I forgive? Seven? No, it's 70 times seven. I mean, it's over and over again. Again and again and again. You just start giving a fresh start. These are the teachings of Jesus, so clear. So turn the negative perspective of your past into a good perspective. Turn the negative perspective of your past into a good perspective. Well, how do you do that? Well, thankfully we have the story of Joseph in Genesis 50:20. And well, you could preach a whole message on this, but you know, he was betrayed by his brothers. He's sold into Egypt as a slave. He's bought by Potiphar, but he has the right heart. He starts over again. And so he starts rising up through the household. Potiphar comes the head steward, but then another slamming experience. Potiphar's wife lies about, Joseph tried to force himself on me because Joseph refused her advances. What's the result? He's thrown to a prison. He loses all of his perspective. Well, no sense doing that. I did what was right. I kept my integrity. The devil's saying, you should have slept with her. Did better off. No. He kept his integrity. Started over again in the jail. Starts serving the prisoners. He has more authority. He can move from place to place in the jail. He meets the baker, the butler. He interprets the dreams. Tells the butler, don't forget me when you get out. I'm just skimming over the story. Most of you know the story. If you don't, it is the best read you'll ever read. It's in Genesis, the story of Joseph. And apply it to your own life. So, eventually the butler does remember, he serves the Pharaoh, he comes to be number one under the Pharaoh in the nation, there's a famine. His brothers come down to buy food, the very ones that sold him into Egypt, but now he's in a different garb, he's grown up, they don't recognize him. And Joseph does his little thing with them, and you can read about it. But eventually, after the dad dies, the brother's thinking, okay, he's going to be okay with us till our dad dies, because he's not wanting to hurt our father. But the father dies. Jacob dies. And they're afraid now that Joseph's going to kill him. Because he has all the authority, and he's going to get even with him now. But listen, here's the verse in Genesis 50:20. He says to his brothers, yes, you yourselves planned evil against me. God planned it for good in order to bring about what it is this day, to preserve the lives of many people. Joseph's perspective of the past was not the evil that his brothers had done, although he recognized it. He said, you meant it for evil. God turned it for good. What has been done in your life? What wrongs have you experienced? What are the things in you? And it can just be failures. I failed. Is it a failure, or did you just learn another way you shouldn't live? I need to look to the Lord. how I'm reacting is not right. Rather than blaming the other person, oh, they shouldn't have done that. Well, maybe you shouldn't have acted that way. You gotta turn things. And realize God's working all things together for good to those that love God and are called according to His purpose. So here's your focus. Love God. Say, Lord, I want your purpose in my life. All things will turn for good. Just start over and over and over again. It'll ultimately work out. The formula for success is to start following God's leading every day. Get up every morning and say, Lord, what do you want me to do today? How would you want me to act today? What are you putting in my heart today? And it'll be love, acceptance, forgiveness. It'll be servanthood, putting other people ahead of yourself, benefiting someone else. Whatever God leads you to do that day, just do it again and again, over and over again. And you're going to see results that's going to come. So after you build the courage to start, you get past all the hurts, you courage, faith in God, you muster it up, and you're going to do it, here's what you got to do. It's all about repetition. It's all about repetition. When I was typing the title of this message, start over and over again and again, an autocorrect came up on my page, and it said, over, again, and again, and crossed it out and put repeatedly. I don't know, I still said it over and over, again and again, because it's something different than just say do it repeatedly. I mean, it is repeated, it's the same thing. But in your mind, you got to say, I'm going to start over and over again and again. It's going to happen. It's repeated. I overcome that hurt and that wrong and that failure, but you're going to have to do it tomorrow and the next day and the next day, because it's a series of starts, and it's going to be over and over again and again. So here's the final thing I said. Start every single day. Start and then restart. Just keep moving on step by step. Here's the verses, and here's the foundational rock, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. There is hope in your future. God has good things about you. He's thinking about you. Oh, that's an amazing thing. You know that God can't get you out of His mind? He's thinking over and over again thoughts about you, possibilities, situations you're going to face. What is on the journey today? What are you going to come across? God's already thought it all out. He knows who you're meeting. He knows what, and the thoughts He has for you, if you'll follow His leading, are thoughts for good and not of evil. It's going to give you a future and a hope. And you're going to succeed and be what God wants you to be. Here's the final verse, and this is one we should all just embrace, Philippians 3:12. Not that I've already attained. I'm not there yet, folks, even in speaking this message, and none of us are. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected. None of us have arrived yet. But I press on. I press on. That I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. He has some plans for you. He's laid them out, but have you laid hold of them? You need to lay hold of the things that God has laid out for you. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind You've got to not forget in the sense of it's wiped from my memory. Forget in the aspect that I will not keep a negative perspective on this. God meant it for good. He's going to bring good out of this. It was wrong. They were intentionally wrong. They meant it for evil, but God's turning this to my good. And so you forget the harmful effects of the past. And what do? And reaching forward to those things which are ahead. You're reaching forward. You're stressing. You're straining forward. You're putting an effort into today to be what God wants you to be. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He's got a tremendous call on every one of our lives. He's made you perfect for His plan for your life. You can relax. All you have to do is follow the Lord every day, over and over, again and again. Would you stand with me this morning? The truths of this message will transform your life. And if you're here this morning and you really see yourself in a dark, gloomy place and you've lost hope and you feel like your life has been ruined to a certain extent, and either you feel like you've been pushed aside or you put yourself on the sideline, I'm calling you this morning in the name of the Lord. Start again. Start again. Let go of the past. Push into your future. It's a good future. God's got good plans for your life. I've never been more confident in making that statement. He has good plans for your life. He just wants you to start taking your next step. The next step. Day by day, starting again, following God, and you're going to reach your destiny. If you just want to lay hold of that from the depth of your heart, would you just raise your hand? Let me pray for you. Lord, we have a fleshly frame. Our thinking is faulty in many ways. Our emotions get messed up. And Lord, I just pray for a healing over us all right here. As we have intended in our heart to follow you over and over again, Lord, I ask that you would empower us by your Holy Spirit. Give us a fresh perspective. Come by your Holy Spirit, guide and direct us. We're not in this alone. We're not going forward alone, but you are guiding us with your cloud and the fire. And you're leading us day by day into our future. May we embrace our future with joy and excitement and enthusiasm. May we be the happiest people, the most contented people alive, because you are leading us and you've given us a future and a hope. We declare it in Jesus' name and we embrace it from the depths of our being. Amen and amen.